Today's 2 20 wait, 2/2/2/2/19.
I think you put too many twos
I
in there.
Did. Ryan messed us up our first recording. He didn't have
what?
His mic in front of
Don't
him.
Don't blame me.
And now I'm messed up. I had a perfect, flawless introduction, and now it's
well, you know what else is messed up? How many things that can be faked these days? Our video, our images, our audio, and now even our text.
New AI fake text generator may be too dangerous to release, say creators. The Elon Musk-backed company OpenAI declines to release research publicly for fear of misuse. So they call this the deep fakes of text. I see this being used, I could see this being misused and almost kind of weaponized because, you know, how if it was so easy to generate like fake news headlines that sound credible, then I think that a lot of people would do that.
Can you imagine, like, you're already feeling attacked as a journalist. You're like, man, I can't get a job at a reputable place and like no one wants to pay. And then you find out even writing fake articles is now being like taken away from you. How are you supposed to make money?
I don't know, but at the same time, look what happened to BuzzFeed. So maybe fake news isn't profitable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they gave it the first line of 1984, and it just continued the story in a somewhat believable fashion. It chose China as the setting for the story, which is like...
It was like, I just got a new job in Seattle, but I grew up in China.
Yeah, and they fed it the first line of an Amazon review, and it went on to review the product. And in a somewhat believable fashion. If you've seen AI-generated text before where it just gets kind of like
it's a little loopy.
Yeah, it goes crazy, and you're like, what? This doesn't suffer from that nearly as much. So much that they're afraid of it, and they won't give it to us.
But the AI, I really enjoy that, like the things of the genre, like AI. You know, we took the last 10 years of Wendy's commercials and had an AI come up with a new Wendy's commercial. It's like, oh, that's amazing. This is comedy gold. This is not that.
But it is. They did give it a massive amount of training material, which is why it's so good. So they haven't said they're not going to release it. They're just saying, we're so scared of it, we're not sure yet. We have to take further time to think about the implications of this.
Do you think we'll ever come up with a fake AI text generator that is plausibly, you know, could plausibly pass the Turing test? It's like, it's not conscious. It's like, how do you know it's not conscious? It meets two of the three criteria. How do you know?
Well, this thing isn't responding to questions. It's just writing, so who knows if it could be efficient at that.
If it could do that, it could surely do the other. I don't know. Because it did so well with so little introductory text.
Once you have you're perfected your fake AI, or fake text AI, you're ready to send it out into the world, but it needs a persona. It needs a face. So what do? You go to your fake face generator, of course. So.
This person does not exist is one of the best one-off websites of 2019. It's use deep learning and they make fake faces.
Which our Twitch chat loves, by the way.
The collar. It's really bad. Have you guys played with this at all?
No.
I looked at it briefly, but I didn't play with it much.
They've only got videos on here. But one of the, when it gets them wrong, it gets them wrong in weird ways where there's like, just this much of some glasses floating. Or there's just like some twisted hands in the picture.
Hands are hard.
They couldn't possibly exist. So but for everyone it gets wrong, it probably gets 10 right.
Yeah.
And they're amazing. And this is the old discriminator AI where you have one AI churning them out and another AI trying to guess the ones that are bad. And it ends up being just amazing at making faces.
Neat. Say so. AI.
You can't trust anybody online, even if they've got a little profile picture. Even if it's not an anime character. How about Fukushima? How long has it been since Fukushima?
Several years, I think.
It's been, when was that? Was that in the zeros?
Yeah. I thought that was like in 2014.
No, it's been longer than that, right?
It's been a while.
Anyway, it's been a really long time, and that nuclear debris, still there. How do you do it? What do? You can't send people in to get it, right? It is highly, highly... murderous, and it's going to kill you. So what? Yeah, I couldn't come up with a good word there.
Yeah.
The word I was looking for is that...
radioactive.
Well, no, but something that's definitely going to kill you. Not toxic,
fatal.
But maybe. I don't know.
So we've lost
You know what? Now. The moment has passed.
Yeah.
Let's just ignore all of that and talk about the robot.
The robot squeezes suspected nuclear fuel debris in the Fukushima reactor. There's a robot that they built to retrieve the nuclear fuel so that they can store it properly. It's a source of radiation.
You gotta scroll down. You gotta show them the picture.
Yeah, he's not retrieving it. And yes, that's right. I've gendered the robot.
They got it all except for the last ball. And the last ball is like wedged in there.
This thing is just squeezing it because they didn't know what texture it was. They didn't know if it was breaking down.
They weren't sure if it was liquid or if it, you know, would just turn to powder. So he's just sort of caressing it.
It looks cool. It's the claw from Toy Story. But it's picking up way worse things.
This guy, and yes, I'm gendering the robot again, is, I think he's the third robot that has been set into the fuel chamber. What?
They can't see it.
I just switch it?
Oh, okay.
They couldn't see it.
Are you that blind, Krista?
No, I didn't see you switch it. It was so fast. They need to appreciate the grabbing action.
Revel in his pincher while I tell you that two or three other robots have died attempting this mission. And he is the first to have gone in there, actually gotten his little claws on some radioactive material.
There was a video, I think, from like CMU or MIT or somewhere, where they sent a GoPro into their nuclear reactor. And it's amazing because it's like as soon as it like rounds the corner past the shielding, there's all kinds of snow in the GoPro. And then when it gets close to the reactor, it just shuts off. That's what computers endure in radiation. Just like people.
I'll say people, except you don't immediately notice. You just start growing tumors like a year later.
Oh, no, not Fukushima. Those people were dead almost immediately, the ones that were directly exposed. That's some powerful stuff. We have talked about Amazon and their facial recognition, which they're working with law enforcement. Good old Palantir, who is probably the worst of all of them. Of course, you've got China. They're using their AI and facial recognition. So are all of these things useful? And academics say no.
Motherboard has this article. Academics confirm major predictive policing algorithm is fundamentally flawed. Fred Paul uses an algorithm based on earthquake prediction to predict crime. Academics say that's simplistic and harmful. So yeah, we've talked about this AI a couple of times on the news. And it's like, oh, we think this area is going to be hot for crime. You should, you know, put more patrols or police there. It was an earthquake prediction. It was originally set up for earthquake prediction.
It's like the same thing, really.
The problem is, you know for sure there's been an earthquake. Earthquakes are 100% detectable in this day and age. Crime, not so much. And thinking that there's going to be more crime based on what's happened in the past has been proven. That's the broken window fallacy, where if you don't know what the broken window fallacy is, it's if you have like a warehouse or something in your neighborhood and all the windows are broken, that will lead to more crime because people will see that and it will put them in the mindset that you can do crime here. And that's why Times Square is now Disney characters instead of hookers. But
it is. There's a few steps in between. We'll omit those for brevity.
But a lot of people argue that's not, you can't correlate the two. And that's kind of what this thing is doing.
Yeah.
So
correlation is not causation. Or is
but
it?
Who knows? In any case, I don't think AI should be policing us.
No.
That seems wrong. What it should be doing is navigating the desert.
An insect bot mimics the desert ants by looking at the sky to navigate. Scroll up so they can see it.
Yeah, it looks cool. I hate the formatting on this page, just FYI. It's like a pop-up over the page.
Yeah, this is the technology review. So if you click this X, you'll lose your story entirely.
Yeah that happened to me when I was trying to read this one.
Oh,
because you're like, oh, this is an ad pop-up. Let me close it. No, this is your story.
So it turns out there's a species of ant in the desert that if it goes in the sun too long, it will literally bake. And it needs to find food and do some other stuff. So it can be in the sun for like 14 minutes, or there's only a 14-minute window where it can hunt and gather food or something. And so this robot, and so it uses the sky to navigate, this robot does the same thing for its navigation, which could work even when GPS is failing.
But not at night. So, gotta stay indoors at night. But I guess at night, the ants don't have to worry as much about the murderous sun. So
yellow face, as Gollum called it.
You think that this guy's... So he does have a GPS module. Do you think he has one of the old ones with the overflow problem?
That's going to be funny if like the drones and stuff have that. And it's like, oh, my old drone doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, I don't think... Well, some of the drones might be that old in the military. Probably, they probably spent about $4 million updating those per drone.
Per drone, yeah.
If there's a terrorist attack on April 6th, then we'll know that they accidentally deployed military technology on civilians.
They accidentally, the whole thing.
I cannot decide. I'm completely indecisive on the topic of
a kitty cat.
Adopting a cat.
He needs a kitty cat.
I don't know if I need one.
You need Myrtle.
I like cats a lot, but I don't like being inconvenienced.
But a cat is like, set it and forget it.
No.
No.
You just have to feed them.
Cats are little poop machines.
Oh, you can clean their litter box.
They vomit things up, and they scratch things, and they have to be.
They shouldn't.
They have to be taken in for maintenance. And I don't know. That's a lot to do.
You give me a lot of crap for Rue, for someone who loves cats. It makes them sound that crazy.
No, no, dogs are way worse.
Mm.
Yeah. No, you made a terrible choice. But.
The carpet at the office can't confirm.
She's never peed on the carpet here.
Okay. I thought she did like once or twice.
At least cats piss in a box.
No, Rue's not had an accident inside in a long time.
That's good.
Like anywhere.
But she had a
my
lot
house or anywhere else. Yeah, when she was a puppy, she was terrible.
The point is, I can't bring myself to home a cat, but I very much support taking care of cats, which is why this is such a wonderful story.
Mashable has the Smart Shelter, features an AI-powered camera, which only lets cats in. So this guy was talking about winter is super cold, and a super cold winter is basically fatal for a cat. So he created a cat door that uses AI to recognize cats and only let cats in.
Now, this is a Chinese story. So do you think they are capturing the cats for facial recognition for further tracking later on?
I thought you were going to say capturing them for food.
Oh,
that would be racist, my little, dog.
That's like a little...
Wow.
Yes.
So, isn't that more of a Korean thing?
I'm not sure. But that's still a good story. Could you see that being used here? Because we have a lot of critters that kind of look like cats.
Yeah.
That could get in through a cat door, like possums and skunks and,
yeah. And
other this, baddies.
These little shelters, they're 80 degrees, which has got to be expensive. And they have room for a number of cats. Plus, they have food and water that won't freeze because it's 80 degrees in there. So, little cat shelter. Your dog cannot get into the cat shelter. But...
Well, maybe a small dog, maybe.
If you're the kind of horrible human being that feels like you need to take your dog everywhere, like to the office.
I don't bring her all the time.
And
sometimes.
Maybe you have to run a quick errand and you got to leave your dog in the car. Now, that might not always be the worst thing to do. But as a society, we've been trained to hate those people and attack them.
Well, not even attack them, attack their car and let the dog out.
Yeah, because once in a while, a dog will overheat and have a heat stroke or something in there. But good news if you have a Tesla.
Tesla's dog mode will stop pets from overheating in cars, says Elon Musk.
They don't. Do they have a screenshot? I saw a screenshot earlier this week where like they have the little screen up on the car.
Oh, yeah.
And it's for the dogs. It's like, don't worry, your owner will be home soon. It's like... Well, does the dog really need that?
So here's...
They don't understand.
Here's
English.
An example of somebody getting their window smashed because the dog is in there.
Yeah.
I don't think they got a picture here, but they did
I've
talk about...
I've seen some of it, though.
The three features are climate control, mm-hmm. music on, which I don't know if the dogs really appreciate that or not.
I used to leave music on for Rue when she was a puppy.
I think that dog mode also says that like if there's passersby that are there, because it ties in with sentry mode or something... That it's like, hey, the dog is fine.
But how does it say that? I don't know how.
I think on the
screen.
Console on the screen.
Yeah,
but you'd have to look at that.
Oh yeah. Well,
if you're looking in there anyway.
Krista, do you subject your dog to that whacked out music you listen to, like Bjork? And
No. There's actually like 15-hour videos that are like puppy relax music, and you can put that on. And I used to put that on for her when she was little.
Rue's laying there like, kill me.
I don't put music on for her anymore.
Kill me another hour of puppy relax. I can't take it. just jam a pencil in my ears.
It's usually just like piano music, and she was fine with that when she was little.
It's rare that you get to say anything positive about Ubisoft. But today, we can say, yeah, maybe this is a good idea.
Variety has the article that say, Ubisoft and Mozilla announce an AI coding assistant, Clever Commit. So Clever Commit is going to watch everything that you do in the source repository. And when you are getting ready to make a commit to the repository that is likely to introduce a bug, you're going to get a warning. How does it know it's going to introduce a bug? It's AI.
It'll figure it out.
Don't worry about how it works.
Yeah.
It just works.
It just works.
But yeah, so it can presumably tell you that you're going to introduce bugs. Who knows? It's from probably Ubisoft is just going to steal your code. Let's be honest. Let's not look through rose-colored glasses here. Now, I was not aware of... they have a name for... Well, there's a stereotype, right? Especially in America, of Chinese immigrants who put their children in schools in America. Those kids usually perform pretty well. And it's because the parents are just on them 24/7 to outperform. And they have a phrase for that, which I just learned from this article, tiger parents.
Oh, you've never heard that before?
I've never heard tiger parents. Tiger parents. No.
There was a whole meme about that in like the early 2000s.
Well, I know the stereotype, but I've never heard tiger parents. Anyway, they have a powerful new tool.
Tencent backed AI firm aims to free up parents and teachers from checking children's math homework.
I don't think this is... I've definitely seen augmented reality stuff where you just take a picture of
a math problem and then it just figures it out. Yeah.
So I don't know how new this is. But they're using it.
I was going to say, it seems like that would be kind of easy. Like, that'd be nice for a teacher not to have to manually grade it. If it's math, you know.
It's not designed for teachers because the tiger parents pay a ton of money for tutoring outside of school because they want those kids just nose to the grindstone around the clock. That's why they hated Fortnite so much.
Oh, remember how much they hated Fortnite? Like set up like a limit. You can only play so long.
Right, yeah. AI does all these wonderful things and it tells us all these things. And actually we can call back to the highway safety study where the problem can be if you tell the AI, hey, go and find this correlation in this data, the AI is kind of going to be like, okay, I'll do whatever it takes to find that.
It's leading it on.
But that might not always be the case.
AAAS, machine learning is causing a science crisis. This is to do with like the repeatability of science experiments. So given a certain set of data, if scientists are looking for a pattern or whatever, like Ryan said, the AI will find a pattern. But until you repeat that experiment many more times to get more data, it's not necessarily meaningful. And so they're saying that there's kind of a crisis in science right now because machine learning is being used by scientists and then they think they're onto something, but then when other scientists try to repeat the experiment to reproduce the results, it doesn't work.
Really poor stock photo choice, I feel, on this
one. Yeah.
What is the relationship here? It's like, oh, astronomy is one of the fields. Really?
Let's just put some pictures of Saturn and call it a day.
Come on, Reuters. Come on.
Could you not have just taken some Terminator pictures and put them in there? I mean, come
anything?
On.
Anything?
There was one of the articles that had Terminator pictures.
Now, here's the one design article.
One design story this week.
I put this in there. Usually, Krista does all the design articles, but I saw this, and I laughed for probably a solid minute, and I couldn't wait to talk about this. So, let's... I wish I could... Okay. Yeah, this is good. So, we'll the big payoff will come after we talk about what it is.
I don't know how to...
Squint.
ASIC? I'm not sure. Experiences taxpayer backlash after spending $100,000 on new logo.
Now, that's an Australian regulatory arm. So get ready for it. Here's the big reveal, Chad.
Big reveal. All right.
There it is.
That's So I'm not super surprised by this because if you've done any work for like any sort of government entity, you'll know, A, you have to have a really big budget to even be considered. Like they'll just think that you're doing subpar work if you don't charge a certain amount. But also like government entities tend to be really boring. Like they may have pitched who knows how many crazy ideas, and the client was like, no, it needs to be like the old one. No, it needs to do this. And like, it just kind of didn't evolve because...
Listen, that blue is a completely different shade of blue than the green of the other one. And the font...
You look how narrow the top and bottom of the S are.
The font was purpose-built for this organization.
This translates weakness.
It wasn't, though, because it's using Tahoma, which is a system font, the website. The website actually only cost $3,000, which is... pretty reasonable.
But I look at this font and I'm like, the Securities and Exchange Commission here, they got no balls. I'm going to do all the insider trading I want. But then I look at this one and I'm like, whoa, I better stay in line.
They mean business.
The one, what I don't understand about this is like, again, I was trying to kind of give him a pass here, but like, why is the font so big? And you know why? What? I bet that client was like, I can't read it. I want it to be bigger. And then, oh. So like they made it incrementally larger, and then they're like, no, it needs to be bigger still.
You think
and
maybe they're the kind of person who really can't see but just insist on going through life with a terrible vision at the peril of others?
I actually get my eyes checked, Mr. Well, I haven't had new glasses in 10 years. Maybe
you should choose a new
optometrist. My eyes are actually evening out finally. But anyway, I mean, they still charged way too much, but at the same time, like...
Was there 800 iterations that weren't selected?
Yeah, exactly. And like, did the client just eventually make it? Was there so many people involved in it that it was like, just don't change it at all? I mean, that's kind of what I think happened.
If there were four designers working for 3 months on this, that could easily be 100K.
Well, yeah. And then, you know, if you have, you know, 30 people on a committee all making changes to it, that gets expensive fast and people don't realize how quickly that adds up. It is definitely a misuse of funds, but...
Also, those are taxpayer dollars.
Yeah.
So... It's time to press F in the chat to
play pay taps. Respects. Taps on MP3.
On the topic of robots, have we ever seen a more overachieving robot in the history of robotics?
Not even. I mean, maybe in 10 or 15 years, Flippy could be this robot, but no.
No, Flippy's I don't not think, there yet.
You know, unless Flippy's flipping burgers on the moon, he's never going to measure up.
This is literally an astronaut.
NASA's Mars rover Opportunity concludes a 15-year mission. So, silence since a giant dust storm last summer. The rover was the longest-lasting robot on another planet. So, there was another Martian event recently where they thought that maybe they could get the robot back online. That did not happen. The robot remains in, you know, dormant power cells, can't generate power, stuff.
He's saying happy birthday to himself one last time.
They estimated, was it 8 months?
Yeah, for 8 months.
8 months out of those batteries, they thought, if we get 8 months, this is a win. And 15 years later, he was still collecting rocks and going hard.
Remember when everything was engineered that way? I want to return to a time like that.
I would like
when
to
all
have
this for Mars rover.
I would like to have an HVAC running on the Mars software. That would be great. But yeah, unfortunately. Now, the good news is we got another robot up there. Don't worry. His mission was so long and powerful that he was still alive after we'd replaced him. So if we can do that again, then, you know, maybe we get another robot. That's going to be great. Or maybe just some people. Probably not, though. I have not yet watched Black Mirror. I've not watched the series or this Bandersnatch movie.
I've watched Black Mirror. I haven't watched Bandersnatch.
I've watched a few episodes, but I haven't watched Bandersnatch.
I haven't watched the movie. Now, I was surprised to learn that there are apparently trillions of iterations. Are there that many choices?
Well, it's like a choose your own adventure book.
Yeah.
But that would have to be a lot of choices, right?
Yeah.
I thought there were like four choices.
It seems like there's a lot. The data set seems like there's like 15 or 20 choices.
Anyway.
Maybe endings. I'm not sure. I haven't watched it. So
if you have watched it, there's a little bit of a secret that you might not know.
Netflix has saved every choice you ever made in Black Mirror Bandersnatch. A tech policy researcher used GDPR to request information about all of his choices from Netflix. So Netflix sent him a bunch of data. This was among the data. This is some of the more interesting data that he collected. Literally every interaction that he's had with Netflix on every platform has been saved. So they can mine that data. They've recorded everything.
Importantly, they also confirmed, when followed up, they will use your Bandersnatch choices to suggest movies to you. So somehow they have a psychological profile based on your choices there.
I bet you would pick all the worst case scenarios. And like your like suggestions after that would just be grim.
My suggestions on Netflix are already like crime dramas, serial killers, true crime, and reality shows about fishing.
I thought it was a Alaskan survival.
I like those too.
Like those too. Yeah.
Anything about, you know, like being out in the woods and hunting animals, which is weird because I'm not even into that.
Mostly, but just Star Trek comes up for me.
Also on our YouTube channel, if you log in as level one, it's all Star Trek related videos.
If you were in charge of a thing, if you were set to regulate a thing, and in doing so, you learn the secrets of how to do that thing, could you resist the temptation?
This guy could not.
Yeah.
The former Apple lawyer who was supposed to keep employees from insider trading has been charged with insider trading.
What a twist.
Again!
Who could have seen it?
This is not the first time he's just... I gather that the last time he got caught, that, you know, it wasn't really a big deal because he was going to save like $300,000 and they did a small fine. But I think the fine wasn't more than the amount that he saved. So it's like, okay, I'm just going to roll the dice again.
Yeah. I mean, he was good at it.
Yeah.
But how hard is it to insider trade? So, yeah, he knew about earnings beforehand so he could watch out for other people gaming the earnings beforehand. But he was busy himself
using that the earnings information.
Sad. The Hidden City. Do you guys know about the Hidden City?
I do know about the Hidden City.
The one in China?
No.
Somebody didn't read this article.
I did not read this one.
So the Hidden City has to do with airlines. The airlines will often have layovers in more popular cities because they have big hubs. So if you want to fly to New York or Los Angeles, it costs a lot more than if you want to fly to a city whose layover flight is in New York or Los Angeles.
What sense does that make?
It seems like the airline companies are just, they've got us over a barrel, pounding us, is what that seems like to me. But if you're smart, you can figure that out and just ignore that last leg of the flight. You're already in Los Angeles, right? Nobody said, nobody's got a gun to your head saying that you got to go to that last city, or do they?
CNN Travel brings us the article about Lufthansa.
You've never seen Goodfellas.
Yeah, no, Lufthansa. Sue's passenger who skipped his flight. So there's a service online that will do this, but this guy basically flew, his final destination was another city, but he stopped off in the one city and took a flight on another airline. And they're suing him for like $2,000 or $3,000 because of breach of contract or whatever.
Not the first time they've tried this. The last case was thrown out. Which is ballsy.
Well, they threw out the last case because they lacked jurisdiction, so it wasn't really like super resolved.
But if this is upheld, that is such a travesty of justice.
Yeah.
Because who does it hurt? What damages can the airline say that they suffered here?
Yeah, they could sell the seat on the last flight to somebody else.
Well, I don't think they could because they wouldn't know, but they could at that, like, if they had one of those...
Standby.
Yeah, one of those tickets, they could do it. But yeah, they just don't want people to know about this. Now, there are websites that will help you plan your trip based on this.
You can only do carry-on luggage, obviously, but
yeah, listen, if you're doing, you know, like commuter flights,
yeah,
that's gonna be huge.
It's exciting.
I added this story, there's some technology here, but I added this primarily just because
science.
I knew Krista was gonna get super excited about it.
I was upset because I didn't see it when I read through the rest of them.
Yeah, she was super hyped as we were prepping the stories right before we started filming.
I was like, wait, what variety? A fleet of networked mushroom farms is spreading across New York. Now, this is not, I was immediately like, what kind of mushrooms are they growing? And they're growing oysters, which is not unheard of. You can buy oyster kits already. But this is cool because people are doing it in restaurants now. And you can just grow your own mushrooms. They have all kinds of different oysters.
Now, what was you said the medium is called?
Mycelium.
So they got these like wood bricks, which they treat with that stuff.
Is that chicken of the woods?
It might be.
It's crazy that they're usually it has to grow on a big dead oak tree. It's crazy that they just have it on that little thing.
And the weird color in here is the like LED grow lighting that simulates whatever these guys want the most. And those are also humidity controlled in there.
It's really cool.
Now, this is a mycelial network I can get behind, unlike the fever dream that is Star Trek Discovery.
I really want to know, like, because the article mentions oysters particularly, so I wasn't surprised by that, but that's not an oyster from what I know. Oysters are usually much smaller. That's really cool.
Also, this is a guy, right? Like, what a pathetic little man bone.
I kind of noticed that, too, and I didn't say anything. I was trying to focus on the mushrooms, but...
But, yeah, that's kind of cool. And, what's this, Chris?
Those are oysters.
Yeah.
Those grow naturally around here. You can find those in the woods here.
Oh, there's more pictures. Let's see. How do I scroll?
Okay, Mom.
Oh, look at that.
Same thing, neat. Different angle.
It's kind of got like a Georgia O'Keeffe thing going on, doesn't it? Yeah, what's that?
Probably more oysters. I can't really tell, though. I think these are all oysters.
Looking good. That's fantastic
really,
looking.
That's really neat.
They're using colored lighting to make things even more confusing and hipster.
Well, no, I'm assuming that's probably some sort of ultraviolet light.
It's part of the growth process. Because normally they'd be in the dark.
Oh, moonlight.
No, they wouldn't necessarily.
Probably. The article mentioned something about simulating moon phases, and I was like, what does that have to do with anything?
Yeah, and that
makes sense.
The plywood blocks or whatever simulate like rotting wood.
Yeah. Usually you see oysters on dead logs in the woods.
Fun fact, we're probably not going to have coal in the future because coal was formed at a time when we didn't have stuff like this to eat that carbon.
But we'll have so many mushrooms.
That's your engagement challenge because that's not perfectly correct. But it's cool.
Someone will correct you. Don't worry.
This story was weird to me because it seemed like when I was a kid, literally every kid in the universe had this. But I guess no one had it unopened.
Yeah.
So
who wasn't playing Super Mario?
Unopened vintage Super Mario Brothers video game sells for $100,000, setting a new world record. I bet I know how this happened. Somebody's grandparents got them a Super Nintendo that came with this, and they also bought the game.
Actually, this is not a Super Nintendo. This is the original Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah. I had the original Nintendo.
But I don't remember, because you got Super Mario with the system. Did it come in a box always?
I don't think ours had a box.
Did somebody have to buy like the original one that didn't come with a game? Was that ever even a thing?
There was one that did not come with a game. I want to say that the original one didn't come with a game, but that wasn't super popular. And then like 6 months later, they were like, all right, we'll do Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt on one cartridge.
Yeah, but that was even later.
Yeah.
There was one that only came with Mario Brothers, for sure.
We had Mario Brothers, Duck Hunt, and Adam's Family.
Oh, Duck Hunt was when they added the light gun.
Right, yeah. And then they added the trackpad, and you got like the running game with it as well. But anyway, quite an amazing thing to have as a collector's item if it's going to make $100,000. Wow.
It was also perfect condition, so.
Yeah.
But $100,000, though.
We live in a time where there's, like, modern children have no opportunity for this because what are you going to do? Save your Steam key? Yeah. Your Switch key? So we don't have these anymore. I guess Switch does have cartridges, but I don't think they even have any data on them anymore. It's just like, yes, go ahead and download this. You have permission.
You might save the console at this point. Like, you just want the console unopened. Man,
I dropped my Switch, and I think I've damaged it, which sucks because it's irreplaceable. Does anybody have a Switch manufactured before June of 2018 they would like to sell?
You need to give away your old stuff, what you were going to do.
Oh, yeah, I got the PS3.
We can do that during the Q&A.
Oh, yeah.
For patrons.
Yeah, it's all right.
No, the Q&A is not just for patrons. It's for everybody.
But I've also got some Xboxes.
Are we going to post the Q&A answers?
That's what we always do. Because we don't do the Patreon version anymore.
Okay.
That's what we always
do. Wait,
what? We did a Q&A video last year. We're doing another one this year.
You're saying we're not doing a live stream?
No, I figured we would just do it like we recorded it last year.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
Sorry. We've discussed now. We're done discussing business. We'll go back to the
news. This is a follow-up. So you might remember we talked about the $100,000 smartphone challenge right before. Now, again, we talked about right before we started filming. Krista's super excited about the mushrooms. Wendell said something ridiculous because he saw the flip phone that this girl has to use, and he was like, if I could do that for a year. No way. Because this is no tablet, no smartphone, or anything connected to those.
Neat. But she gets a flip phone.
But are you maintaining your stance that you can do
probably
this?
Can.
Yeah.
I mean, so this millennial will give up a smartphone for a year to win $100,000 in the vitamin water challenge. And so
she looks like a uniquely joyless individual in this photo.
she's empty.
Has another picture where she looks very happy.
Yeah, so she's apparently an author. And
her entry was really creative, and that's why Vitamin Water selected her.
She's got the Daenerys dark eyebrows with white hair.
I think that's a wig, right?
I would think so.
Dragon Speaker. She's apparently written Dragon Speaker. She made some kind of elaborate Twitter infomercial about herself to win this competition. Because we talked about when they announced this, of course a lot of people would stop using a smartphone for $100,000. But they only picked one person. So it's her. Congratulations, here's the phone that she will have to use.
It's a flip phone.
She should ask for a razor, like the old school razors. A pink one.
I don't think the old school razors work on modern phone networks.
Probably not.
For sure not.
Reintroducing it, though.
AT&T, I think.
But I thought you just couldn't, you'd have to use like landlines for everything. That's like hard mode.
No, you can still use a computer. You just can't use anything with a touch screen.
That seems fine. You can carry around a laptop. I mean, that'd be fine. Strap a laptop to my arm.
Would that mean I couldn't use my iPad to draw?
No,
I wouldn't be able to do it then because I need it for work.
So Jesus is always with you. And you could say that he could do anything, but up until now, he didn't take American Express.
Catholic churches in Dublin to introduce contactless card payments. I thought you were going to go somewhere with, like, you know, the Holy Ghost in the contactless payment things. It's like, ooh, bloop. It's like, oh, look at that. I've made a donation.
Are you talking about the Holy Trinity of Visa, MasterCard, and American Express? Yep. Apparently, so we've talked about how Europe is going cashless. And even the street performers have started taking credit card payments. But the church had not gotten into the future is now credit card payments. They were counting on cash, and they were losing their shirts because people just weren't donating.
Are there any churches that take cryptocurrencies? Haven't they gotten a memo?
Most churches have, like, I mean, this is new for Catholic churches, but most churches I've been to have, like, an online, like, donation thing, so you don't have to do it, like, in the pew anymore.
I think so this is in Dublin. In other places, they might have actually already done this. But I think a lot of that donation stuff is sort of like, you know, pass around the hat, and you don't want to be the person not putting anything into the hat. And so doing it in person like this and having something to pass around helps a lot. So I'm sure we'll find out how much more they're getting. They'll probably publish those numbers, unless it's an insane amount, and they might not. How far would you go to stop a serial killer?
Not very far, because I'm very small and I'm very weak.
Well, you don't have to do anything physical. I'm not talking about physically stopping them, but would you watch hours upon hours of extreme pornography?
No.
No?
No.
Not to save lives?
Is that really saving lives if they've already found him?
Well, but you're the judge who will or will not put him in jail.
And this is why I wouldn't want to be a judge.
Claremont serial killings. Judge to watch extreme pornography in preparation for trial.
So, yeah, the argument here, this is also in Australia. The defense, or maybe it's the prosecution, is saying, we cannot verbally describe to you the depravity of this pornography. It must be seen for you to understand how horrible it is. And so the judge said, okay, I will watch all of it.
Do you think they were like, so we just wanted you to watch like 5 minutes? And he's like, no, I'll watch all of it.
Well, I think by doing so, he will become literally the first man in history to watch a porn all the way to the end.
I don't envy that guy. You know, there's a lot of people thinking there's a serial killer around here right now because they found so many bodies turning up.
I told just you they're looking for them.
I told you what that was. It's vampires.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The Kentucky vampire.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like the one headlight vehicles. It's like, you know, you don't notice how many vehicles only have one headlight.
You don't notice how many dead bodies are in the Kentucky River.
It's...
You just start scraping it for dead bodies. It's like, oh, there's another one.
People are dumb. It's been cold. It's fine.
And they will all be exsanguinated.
That was purely accidental. Like, they accidentally tripped on some razor wire as they were falling into the river.
Yeah, they fell into some barbed wire and only two punctures. Right in their jugular vein. It's vampires. Near-field sensors are built into all of the new Nintendo products. And I've never used an amiibo, but they are these action figures and cards, and you, like, swipe them on your controller, and they unlock. It's like DLC with a collectible. But they probably didn't think enough about the security.
Random Taiwanese police seized 6,850 fake amiibo cards from one man. He ordered them from Taobao, which is a retailer in China.
There they are.
There's a lot of them.
Well, there's 6,850
of them. Do you think all of them are in that picture?
But apparently these do have near-field chips in them, and I think they do work. They're probably clones of existing ones.
Can't trust clones.
And $52 a piece.
Well, that's like 25 cents, 52 cents.
Oh, cents. Uh-huh. Yeah, I didn't do the conversion. Wow. That's a hell of a conversion, isn't it?
It's exciting when you go visit because it's like, wow, all this only costs $5.
And then you bring that money back with you and you might as well just wipe your ass with it.
Yeah.
So here they are. I mean, they look... I don't know what the real ones look like, but I assume that they look like that.
Neat. Some of the amiibo things are like little statues.
Yeah, yeah. And Nintendo, as they usually do, grossly underproduced those. So they're like, just people are desperate for them.
It's like Beanie Babies, except Nintendo. Yeah.
Beanie Baby. That's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
This story, it reminds us to never, ever underestimate how far people will go for meaningless achievements and numbers, quantified uselessness.
Valve updated Steam VR tracking because Beat Saber players were too fast. So this talks about how the VR tracking code makes certain assumptions, like if the tracking code says that you're behind the field, like the tracking field, it's got to be an error in the measurement. You probably should ignore it. So one of the measurements was like how fast you can turn your wrist, and they made certain assumptions about how fast you could turn your wrist. Turns out that if you've been training with Beat Saber, you can turn your wrist insanely fast if you're determined.
Have you ever watched someone play Beat Saber? It's really cool. Imagine, I can see how someone spending that time could get really fast at it.
Imagine the speed at which these people are changing light bulbs.
That's assuming they do anything other than play Beat Saber.
It's got to be astounding. How many times have you said to yourself, I've got some cows and I feel like they're lonely, but I don't know how to get a bull into their life?
I don't think I've ever thought about
Never. Wow. Yeah, I don't have any cows.
Kyle, that makes my answer really embarrassing. But there's now a solution called Tudder.
A Tinder-style app for cows tries to help the meat market.
How do you like that logo, Chris?
Match found. It's something.
Is it supposed to be
the
sun?
I think it's supposed to be
the
udders.
No, it's udders. No, but I mean, is it like sunshine and udder in the same?
No.
No, just it's just udder? Udders, just I think. Udder. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure that the rationale for the logo was like, it's supposed to represent openness and sunshine on a cloudy day. And we're also using golden ratio.
But it is exactly what it describes to be. You are looking for, you know, cows or bulls to come and be with your cows or bulls, and you swipe left and right, just like Tinder.
I thought you could also do sales.
Is it?
I think so.
That's a little darker.
Used for cow trafficking.
Also, they use the phrase moopid instead of cupid. Get it?
Oh. I think this will take off in the horse industry. Thoroughbreds.
If I was going to design a moopid instead of a bow and arrow, he would have one of those enclosed bolt pneumatic guns. That's how he would, you know.
I think there are already dating apps for horses. It's just, you know.
It's humans and horses.
That's more disturbing, but okay. All right, continue.
We posed the question a few weeks ago. Is a dance something that you can trademark or copyright? Can it belong to you? Can you have created it? And if so, how complicated does a dance have to be? And now we have a legal ruling saying it.
Well, the Copyright Office has refused registration for the Fresh Prince's star Alfonso Ribeiro's Carlton dance. So this is part of the lawsuit. The lawsuit is not dismissed yet, but the Copyright Office has said that we're not going to register this because it's too simple. There's not enough moves.
Yeah, but I think based on that, he's got nothing.
Yeah, it seems.
That's it. That's his move.
But actually, it's more than that.
It's a little more crazy than what I'm doing.
They described it in detail here. There's three parts, and that's just the first part.
Yeah.
What else does he do? I mean, he kind of slides his feet around, but.
Do we really want to?
Yeah, it's
important.
Antiseptic.
Okay, here we go. Dancer sways their hips as they step from side to side while swinging their arms in an exaggerated manner. That's what you just did.
Yes.
Second dance step, dancer takes two steps to each side while opening and closing their legs and their arms in unison.
Oh.
You don't even know about that. And then the final step, dancer's feet are still and they lower one hand from above their head to the middle of their chest while fluttering their fingers.
So that does not constitute a choreographic work, according to the Copyright Office.
Not complex enough.
Yes.
But how is the moonwalk more complex than that?
He patented his shoes for that. What? Like, he uses special shoes for the moonwalk.
You don't have to use special shoes for that, do you?
No, you don't have to.
I can't do it. I could.
If you want to lean as far as he did on the last thing of the moonwalk, there were like special clips that his shoes hooked into.
Yeah, it was like a nail in the floor or something.
It was really interesting.
In that same vein, how copyrightable is your likeness in terms of video games?
I think pretty.
We talked about tattoos. Like, that's the really interesting thing. It's like, you get a tattoo and the tattoo artist owns the thing, but then you don't.
Yeah, well, tattoos can be very unique.
Yeah.
But you can argue, like, you ever see that old picture that looks like Keanu Reeves from like a million years ago.
Oh yeah, they're like, he's wearing a time traveler.
Yeah. And so, I mean, your look is going to be repeated on a long enough timeline, right? So, so the question will likely be solved in court now.
Wrestler Booker T sues Activision due to a likeness of Black Ops 4's Prophet. So Booker T, I mean, I think unless the like they get data from like emails or something inside of Activision that's like, let's make him look like Booker T, I don't think he's got a case.
You know, they don't have a side by side in this article.
Yeah, I thought they did.
No, these are both. This is both. Right. Oh wait, maybe that one of these is so. One of his alternate characters was G.I. Bro, so maybe that's what this is.
I'd say it's pretty damning that we can't tell.
They're similar. Oh, that's actually from the lawsuit. Yeah. Okay. So this must be it. So I think
that's what I looked at.
This is Booker T, and this is Prophet.
Listen, I don't think that there's precedent for this. There was that episode of Murder, She Wrote that was like the movie Clue, and that didn't rise to the level of this kind of copyright violation. So this is probably okay.
What if they put Angela Lansbury and Cod Blobs?
That would be amazing. Angela Lansbury in like the full tactical gear. She just hops
frag out.
Is she alive?
Yes.
Wow.
She's still alive. Just barely.
Her and the Golden Girl,
Betty White,
should do a murder mystery show.
Oh, man, that would be amazing. Really
they could be in with the 90-year-old guy who's doing investigations.
Yeah.
That would be the perfect trio.
The retired CIA, FBI. Oh, man, like, Angela Lansbury.
It's like Three's Company.
Angela Lansbury, Betty White, and the former FBI guy.
That is a show. We've got a hit show on our
hands. Would be cool. We'd have maybe like two seasons of a hit show, let's face it.
The clock is running on that.
A lot of times, industries will do really stupid things. Let's look as recently as the YouTube Rewind. completely out of touch with their community. They don't understand the audience. They don't understand what to do. They fumble it.
Tone deaf doesn't go far enough.
They're bad at it. And maybe not the worst example, but one of the most tasteless examples is for opioids.
Insys executives used a rap video to push sales of potentially lethal opioid. This is a fentanyl vaporizer. So, like, who thought this was a good idea?
This is actually the vaporizer itself in the background. There he is.
Do they call him Fenty?
And that is the like the vice president of marketing or whatever inside that suit, which is hilarious.
They're like, we're going to have you do a cameo in this, but you're not going to see your face.
And the suit represents the highest dosage of fentanyl. So this was a training video, an internal training video, trying to teach the sales team how to push the heaviest dose.
Wow.
They call it titration, where it's a method of like, don't ease into dosing this thing. Just give them a lot and figure out how much they can take.
And hope that they don't overdose. It'll be fine.
Wow. So yeah, these guys they got some charges against them because they did stuff like this. I saw a story related to this where one of the companies had hired an ex-porn star.
Oh, of course.
As a salesperson. They still had like the real salesperson, but when they were questioned about it, they were like, she really connects with this one specific doctor, and he actually he prescribes a lot of our drugs, so we wanted to tailor the experience for him.
Really connects.
That doesn't sound shady at all. We're going to need to subpoena some of that GPS phone tracking stuff.
Professional connection.
Yeah.
Professional understanding.
Yeah.
If you look at...
Is the National Enquirer involved?
If you look at the drug sale, pharmaceutical reps, they're very beautiful people. Across the board. I mean, some of the most gorgeous women you've ever seen. And I imagine they have male versions of that too. And I kind of get the impression that maybe they're not the brightest. And a rap video may be a good way to actually communicate
with them. Capture their attention,
yeah,
if you will.
Exactly.
Can we get a rap video that involves like not installing malware on your computer? Because maybe that would make my life easier.
Well, I think that's what we need to do.
In terms of like the janitorial services. Rapping.
Oh, yeah. You think we should rap?
Yeah.
I don't know. Brian Lunduk wrote the Uptime Funk thing. I mean, that worked out pretty good for him.
Yeah, and like 0.00001% of the population is aware of that.
That might be a little generous. I liked it. I thought it was great.
You're part of the 0.00001%.
part of the vanishingly small percentage that even...
It's no Cardi B.
Snow Cardi B. Oh, man.
I think that's it. There's a hook coming from the side of the camera to just drag
you don't,
us off.
You don't want to talk about Cardi B?
It's Boiler Snake's tail.
He says, stop. Turn it off.
We're going to get tetanus if it digs in much deeper.
Can you get tetanus from a snake?
The rusty boiler snake, yes.
Oh, that's right. He doesn't have venom, but he does have a dirty mouth.
He does have a dirty mouth. We'll see you guys next week with more news, hopefully.